Tennessee and Missouri coming up Saturday at noon Eastern. How does Tennessee get back into that win column? What do I think is going to happen in this football game? My Caner Keys of the Game plus Boogie Bentley all on a Friday. Locked on Vols.
You are Locked on Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is your Friday edition of Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Kane, and today's episode is brought to you in part by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up with UnderdogFantasy.com, use that promo code Locked On, and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. That's at Underdog Fantasy. Got a fun show coming up today. We're going to dive in and learn exactly who is the Missouri Tigers. Going to throw a lot of stats at you guys out there today, show you who their key players are. And then, of course, we're going to get into our Friday conversation with my guy, Boogie Bentley, over the Talking Vols Network. That is your Friday show, and that's going to start right now. All right, so who is Missouri? Well, the Missouri Tigers, 4-5 overall in the season, 2-4 in SEC play so far this season. They've been really pesky. They really have. Defensively, a really good football team, only giving up 21 points per game. I think only averaging about around 18 in conference play. They surrender just 304 yards of total offense per game. Pretty balanced in that regard. Really good against the run, surrendering just 111 yards on the ground a contest. They have 13 takeaways on the season. They're pretty decent at holding opponents out of the red zone. Opponents are scoring touchdowns just at a 52% clip in the red zone. So Missouri's defense has looked really, really good. Now, I'll say this. Last couple of games, Kentucky scored 21 points. South Carolina scored 10 points. Vanderbilt scored 14 points. Florida scored 24 points. Auburn earlier this season scored 17 points. Those are not explosive offenses. I know Florida was explosive against Tennessee. That was early in the season. That was kind of the perfect storm a little bit. But those are not explosive offenses. Now, Missouri did play Georgia. Missouri played Georgia at the beginning of October and escaped Columbia 26-22. And that is an explosive offense in terms of the stat sheet, right? Missouri did a really good job against Georgia. That's really like the only really good offense that Missouri has faced, albeit still some good stats. So what I'm trying to say is Tennessee's offense is going to come in there and there's going to be some opportunities to move the football, and Missouri's defense hasn't quite seen a scheme or personnel or, you know, stuff like that outside of maybe the Georgia game. And still, Tennessee's offense is so much different from Georgia, but that defense is really good. It's got a couple of transfers who have made a major difference. Inside linebacker Tyron Hopper, transfer from Florida, leads the team with 52 tackles, 12 tackles for loss on the season. Up front, you've got Isaiah McGuire, one of the end spots, 4.5 sacks. 10 TFLs, the other end spot. DJ Coleman, something that John Miller was speaking on yesterday. 30 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 7.5 TFLs. So really good up front, really good at the interior of the linebacker position with Tyron Hopper. And then in the back end, you got some experience. Guy that I was raving about yesterday and Martez Manuel at the star position. Got a Clemson transfer and Joseph Charleston at one of those spots. A guy that leads the team with 2 interceptions, Jalen Carlisle's at one of the safety spots. So, and then Chris Abrams-Drain, who leads the team with 11 pass breakups. It's been a pretty solid defense for Missouri, but I just think that Tennessee's going to come in and put about 21 on in the first quarter. That's just my gut feeling. That's what I feel like it's going to happen. As we'll talk about with Boogie here in a moment, it's kind of the perfect storm, if you will. So Missouri, really solid defensively. Now, offensively, it's a whole different ballgame. Missouri has struggled offensively, scoring 23 points per game, around 18 again in conference play, 350 yards of total offense is all that it's kind of mustering up a game. It's pretty balanced, throws for 203, runs for about 146. It's thrown the football over 17 times already this season. 17 times already this season, and it's allowed 21 sacks. It's not good in the red zone. It's only scoring touchdowns, excuse me, in the red zone at a 54% clip. just been a struggle bus city there for Brady Cook, the quarterback, Eli Drinkwitz, who just got a contract extension. I'm not really sure how. It's not been a good offensive team. Of course, you lost Tyler Beatty, who was a phenomenal football player, an All-American. I caught flack last year because I was talking about how good he was going to be before Tennessee played him. Tennessee did a pretty good job against him, but he still went on to, you know, have an All-American season. So, you know, I'm not right much, but I was right about that one too. That's two things, one last year, one this week, that I've been right about. But they don't have those guys. Connor Bazelak's gone. Brady Cook, 6 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 65% completion percentage. He has rushed for 5 touchdowns and 232 yards on the ground. So I think he's the third leading rusher on the team from the quarterback position. So Tennessee will have to manage that a little bit. To 1-2 punch in the backfield with Cody Schrader and Nathaniel Pete, a combined 6 touchdowns. Schrader's got 508 yards on the ground, but the yards per carry, just 4.6 and 4.4. So nothing super dynamic from the backfield there. At receiver, it's a two-man show as well. Sorry, my voice is really shaky today. It's been like this all week, guys. Hopefully on Monday I'll be better. Dominic Lovett primarily plays in the slots. He leads the team with 45 receptions, 659 yards receiving. Easily leads the team, 2 touchdowns. Former five-star that I spoke with John about yesterday, Luther Burden, 30 receptions, 245 yards, and 2 touchdowns. A really, really talented player that I'll be intrigued to see if he hits the transfer portal. He went to Missouri because that's home for him. We'll see if he hits that transfer portal this offseason. Don't quite use the tight end really in the passing game. The offensive line did return 4 starters, but they've given up 19 sacks so far in the season. I mean, it's been struggle bus city for Missouri offensively. So Tennessee, just go play your game offensively. Missouri will challenge you a little bit, but you're better. You have better athletes. You have a better scheme. You have more motivation. Go play your game. You might not score 50. But I think you're going to win pretty comfortably in this football game. And defensively, the way Tennessee's defense is improving, I think Tennessee can go out there and really have a good game. I do. I mean, Missouri's offense is not good. It is not good. This is a good opportunity for Tennessee's defense. We talk about style points a lot with the offense. It's a good opportunity for the defense to go out and have some style points this week against the Missouri Tigers. So, my final score prediction, I think what I said yesterday was like 38-17, something like that. I mean, that's 21 points, right? It's 21 points. I think Tennessee will win by 3 touchdowns. I do. Missouri's not that good. Tip your cap to that defense and the turnaround, but it just kind of is what it is. It is the perfect storm for the University of Tennessee. So that is a look at Missouri a little bit. My keys is just go out there and play your game. Respond the right way. And that started this week in practice. And from everything you're hearing on campus, and of course that leadership in the locker room, I think Tennessee did a good job in that regard. So, you know, that's a look at Missouri. A couple of keys. I talked keys yesterday as well. I think Tennessee should be able to go and handle business in this one. What does Boogie Bentley think? Boogie Bentley, Talking Vols Network. He'll join us next right here on Locked On Vols. But did you know that over the holidays, property crimes like burglaries, I've been practicing, and package thieves, they spike nationally, right? That's why our friends over at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off award-winning security systems so that families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. Order your Simply Safe system for half off today and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of mind this holiday season. All right. So, you know, we're always traveling around the holiday season. We're going this, we're doing that. I mean, hell, I'm getting married around the week before Christmas this year. And we're going to be gone away from the house a little bit during that time. Having Simply Safe, seeing what it can demonstrate for me and my family and my home, my household, it just makes me have peace in mind whenever I'm gone. Truly, it does. And I think it can work for you as well. You know, what they offer is 24/7 professional monitoring agents, use fast protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe to capture critical evidence and verify if a threat is real, so you can prioritize a police response. Simply Safe is whole home security with advanced sensors for every single room, window, door, HD security cameras for inside and out, smarter ways to detect motion and alerts you only when the threat's real, okay? That's what's great about Simply Safe. They prioritize you, your home, and your well-being when you're away from those things, your assets, and the thing that you love. They've been good for me, and they can be great for you. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system I would recommend. Get 50% off any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com slash URL today. There is no bigger discount of the year, so don't wait. That's simplysafe.com/lockedoncollege. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. All right, guys, welcome back into a Friday show. It is Locked On Vols, your team every single day. Haven't talked to this gentleman yet this week. I usually go on his show early around Monday. So this is the first time we've talked and first time we're going to catch up since the Georgia games. It's the college football playoff rankings. Talking about Missouri. I got a whole lot to get into with Boogie Bentley of Talking Vols. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? It's weird. It's so weird. If you have to take time off from YouTube, and it's like typically you get into Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and it's like, man, I've got to come up with something to talk about. I feel like I've not talked at all this week. We got so much to catch up on.
I know, man. So first and foremost, you know, what about that Georgia game for Tennessee? You know, it's disappointing, of course. Tennessee goes down there, and the offense just stalls out. They don't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. 27-13 was the final. So the final score doesn't look that horrible, but it was unfortunate. But still, Tennessee in a great spot in the college football playoff rankings. What was your big takeaways from Saturday in Tennessee's first loss of the season?
I mean, nothing really surprised me, honestly. And it's one of those things where you have the conversations for the last couple of weeks, months, whatever. Who's the best team in college football? I've stood behind it. I've said it's Georgia over and over and over. And they showed why, man. They were more physical. People are tired of me talking about Georgia being more physical. They were. That interception, you know, going into the half, you thought, okay, if Tennessee can score right here, play that middle eight, they have an opportunity. And they beat Tennessee at Tennessee's game. How many times have we seen 50-50 balls to Cedric Tillman? He goes up, makes a play, and keeps Tennessee in football games. And that Georgia defensive back said, no, I'm going to show you how to play physical. And you can't argue. Both guys were pushing, being aggressive, and Georgia went and made a play. And that was a big – you know, Georgia dominated. They dominated. Yeah, it was a two-touchdown game. I don't know if that would have really changed things, but that was a big turning point in the game. But really, overall, not surprised. The funny thing is now we can have the conversation that we wanted to have before, but you wanted to go win this Georgia game, clearly. The goal is Atlanta. But now Tennessee's percentage goes – up for making the college football playoff after losing to Georgia. Tennessee's just fine. If you told me we had a shot at 11-1 and the college football playoff, I'm signing up for that every single day.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's kind of what we were saying in the 2-minute drill after the game. And again, because that sounds very much like a moral victory type situation.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't trying to make it sound like that, but I mean, in reality, sit back and think about it. If you said 11-1, New Year's Six bowl game at the minimum, I mean, shit, like that is a heck of a season. But you know, Tennessee just didn't play well. I thought defensively, and again, all plays count, you give up three plays, they're just bad, but I thought they settled in a little bit. And Georgia, of course, you know, took the foot off a little bit in the second half with the rain and all that. Tennessee offensively just did not look like Tennessee's offense, and that was, it's a little concerning to me. Now, you're not going to play Georgia every single week, okay? I mean, Missouri is solid. Missouri's actually a pretty good defensive team. They don't have the athletes out there, cornerback like Keely Ringo, you're referencing, you know, the man up on a guy. Were you surprised that it just, that Tennessee's offense just literally never got going? I mean, I thought that it'd be struggling at times maybe, but I thought it'd find a way. It never found a way.
I was shocked they couldn't run the ball more effectively. And I don't have the numbers in front of me because I'm not a professional like you. What did Jalen Wright average, like three yards a carry, something like that?
Yeah,
I thought they would have more success running the football. And I said it multiple times, I wish they would have got Hendon Hooker more involved in the run game. And it seemed to be his attempts were either escaping pressure or getting sacked. And I wish they would have utilized a little bit of read option. You know, Georgia kept bringing pressure. And how many times have we seen a halfback screen in this offense? I know it's not something they do, but goodness gracious, when somebody's bringing so much pressure, give it a shot. So, I don't know. It's just, I thought Tennessee's offense would have more success against Georgia than they did, but at the same time, like you said, let me throw a question back at you, because something that there's so many Georgia fans in my comment section, and there's a reason for that, but regardless, a lot of people saying that Kirby Smart outcoached Josh Heupel, and Dobber, one of my co-hosts, made a good point. I wish there would have been some more adjustments in that game, maybe, but flat out coaching. What are your thoughts on that? Because and then I'll follow it up with an argument depending on how you answer.
You know, as far as was he outcoached? I mean, I won't say that. I think Kirby came in with a good game plan, but also I just think that for the most part, I mean, Georgia was working on Tennessee's scheme for a little bit, and they've got some good players, right? Now, I don't think this was a great game for Alex Golish or Josh Heupel. I'll say that. But sometimes just a football team is better, right? I mean, sometimes you're just better than your opponent. And so that's kind of how I'd answer that question. I wouldn't necessarily say that Kirby outcoached him. It just won the football game.
Yeah, my comeback to that is if you flipped rosters, if you gave Josh Heupel and his coaching staff that Georgia roster and you gave Kirby Smart Tennessee's roster, who wins that game 10 out of 10 times? I mean, I just don't think – it wasn't like you said, Heupel and Golish. It wasn't their best coaching performance. I don't think Kirby Smart outcoached Josh Heupel. Like, and what's the blueprint? Okay, go out there, play man-to-man on three really, really good wide receivers and be able to stop the run. And leave a safety back over the top, too, because, you know, you can stop it with your front seven. That's not easy for anybody else in the country to duplicate.
Yep. Did you think that defensively they kind of settled in? Now, again, it's you say settled in and all that, but, I mean, down 24-6 or 21-6 or whatever it is, and that changes the way Georgia calls the game offensively. What did you think about the way Tennessee played defensively in that football game? Because, you know, they forced two turnovers, but you gave up two or three huge plays that led to scoring plays.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Georgia's not trying to score. They're trying to score. They're just going a little bit more conservative, running the football. And, you know, Tennessee did shut them down. How many times have teams been able to just run it down Tennessee's throat, eat up the clock, and go score? But Tennessee, they got the ball back with, what, around 4 minutes to go in the game? And Tennessee goes down and scores. Now you're not talking about you're talking about an onside kick situation. So, you know, the national media, Kirk Herbstreit, the College Football Playoff, all those guys comparing Tennessee's loss to Georgia to Oregon's loss to Georgia, like those are two different worlds. Like, don't even – yes, Georgia – don't use the word dominated. They were in control. They were in control the entire game. It was never in doubt. But Tennessee goes down and scores there with 4 minutes left, and you're talking about an onside kick. You got a football game on your hands. The game was never really out of reach. Tennessee always had an opportunity. So, yeah, their defense did dig in. And this defense is getting better week after week. That's something you got to be proud of because, you know, we're harsh on this defense early in the year. They're getting better. I know going into the game they were leading the SEC in turnovers. I don't know if they're still leading, but they're playing pretty good football, and you got to like their odds to go out and dominate these last 3 weeks and have a shot. You know, let the chips fall where they may. Go take care of yourself and let the chips fall where they may. If you got a shot at the College Football Playoff, great. If not, let's go represent in the New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah, so what does that look like? We'll discuss the remaining three games plus the College Football Playoff rankings all coming up here in just a second with our guy, Boogie Bentley. But first, I want to remind you guys about Underdog Fantasy. All right, Underdog Fantasy, it is really the easiest fantasy game out there if you want to get in. And if you're brand new to the fantasy world, it's the easiest place to spice up college football this season. It's easy to play. It's available in 30 states. You can pick between 2 and 5 players across any team, not just your team, and you can decide if they're going to finish higher or lower the number that is set. One of the easiest fantasies to play out there, and you can hold and win. You can win cold hard cash each and every time you play. So I'm looking at this weekend. I'm going to go away from Tennessee this weekend, okay? Another guy that's somewhat in the Heisman Trophy race, it's Caleb Williams over there at USC. Of course, tonight coming up, USC plays Colorado, 9:30 Eastern. Over under 315.5 passing yards for Caleb Williams. I'm going to take the over in that one. And his go-to guy, Jordan Addison, the over and under set at 85.5. Might take the under in that one because they're spreading the wealth just a little bit more. But you got over under, you got totals for Caleb Williams, you got it for Jordan Addison, you got it for Michael Jackson over there as well. And not just Southern Cal on a Friday night, you got every single game out there for Thursday night action last night, Friday, and of course the Saturday slate for college football. So pretty much anything you want, it's all at Underdog Fantasy. You can sign up by using the promo code Locked On, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. $100 in there, you get $100 for free. Go to UnderdogFantasy.com or find the Underdog Fantasy app in the App Store or Google Play Store. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Locked On. Get in the college action today with Underdog Fantasy. We got a final segment left here of this Friday edition of Locked On Vols. It's Tennessee and it's Missouri. That's coming up tomorrow, noon Eastern on CBS. Tennessee, needs to win these last three, and they need to win it convincingly. Something we were just touching on with our guy Boogie Bentley over here, who's our Friday guest. Boogie, does Tennessee need to go out there and just really leave no doubts and really – I don't like the term run up the score, because Tennessee, that's just kind of what Tennessee does anyway, regardless if it's starters or backups or whoever in there. Does Tennessee need to go out there and really make the most of every single offensive possession?
I think so. And, you know, you got to love the movie Remember the Titans. And that's who I've been quoting all week long is Coach Yost. Herman, leave no doubt. Run it up. Run it up. Go out and boat race Missouri. And, you know, last year, coming off of weak performances, Josh Heupel scoring 17 points or less, the following week they hung 60 on their opponents. And that's what I'm expecting Tennessee to do on Saturday against Missouri. It's senior day. It's a special day. You know, we had a little segment on my show Wednesday night where we talked about seniors on this football team, because a lot of those guys could have checked out. They could have moved on. They could have transferred out. And they chose to stay and play for the Power T. They still chose to give Josh Heupel a chance. There's a lot of special kids on this football team. And Josh Heupel's shown all year long he's going to have his team prepared, ready to go. I know a lot of people out there talking about this Missouri defense. They're not Georgia. They're not going to be able to follow Georgia's blueprint. They're not going to be able to match up man-to-man. I like Tennessee's offense to go out and score points. They might not put 60. I'm going to act like they're going to score 60, but I think Tennessee handles business on Saturday. I just don't think Missouri, more specifically on the offensive side of the ball, there's no way that Missouri offense can keep up with what Tennessee's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, tip your cap to Missouri's defense. They played really sharp all season long. You know, they haven't played explosive offenses in Vanderbilt and South Carolina and Kentucky and Auburn, but they did play Georgia. They played Florida. Florida's capable of that, but it's not really consistently been that. But they played Georgia, and they held Georgia to 26 points. I mean, that was about a little over a month ago. Credit Missouri's defense, but it's just kind of like the perfect storm for Tennessee. Like, Tennessee's offense is different from any other offense they played. Tennessee just lost. Tennessee needs to look good. Hendon Hooker needs to look good for Heisman. I feel like Tennessee's going to come out in this game and go up by a couple scores in the first quarter and just never look back. And in return, Tennessee's sitting at fifth in the college football playoff rankings. If TCU loses to Texas this week, then Tennessee will slot right back up.
There's way too much bulletin board material for Josh Heupel to work with, and you just rattled off so much of it. Look, guys, you're fifth. They don't respect you. You were the number one team in the country, and you lost to Georgia, and now look, you're fifth. You're not good enough. They don't respect you. And yeah, Hendon Hooker, you're going to have to put up some numbers now. That Georgia game was an opportunity. It's almost comical looking back to the beginning of the year when we're saying, oh, this football team, if they win, you know, 10 games, Hendon Hooker will have a chance. Now they lose to Georgia, and people are acting like the Heisman is out the window. But I think this football team has a lot to prove, and they seem like a chippy bunch. They remind me a lot of that baseball team a couple of years ago. They fight, they scratch, they claw, they compete. And I think they're going to have something to prove. You look at Missouri, they're a strange football team, though. When you look at their record, it's they played Auburn close and lost. They played Georgia, like 26-22 against Georgia, yeah. Played Florida close. But then on the flip side, they turn around and play Vanderbilt close. They're such a weird, strange football team. But, they are good defensively. They've only given up 300 yards, I think I read once in the last six games, and that was to Georgia. Their defensive front leading the SEC in tackles for loss, pretty good against the run. But I'm with you. I think Tennessee is going to come out. They're going to score early, and then you're going to force Missouri to play catch up. And I don't think Brady Cook has it. His touchdown to turnover ratio is comical. Six touchdowns, seven interceptions, yeah. And that's you look at this receiving unit. For Missouri, they got a couple of good receivers, but as a bunch, they have six touchdown receptions on the year. Do we need to talk about how many touchdown receptions Jalen Hyatt had against Alabama in one game? Yep. I mean, that right there speaks for itself. I don't think Missouri can keep up.
Boogie, I don't know what your thoughts were, but and I don't know if you were listening earlier in the week, but I said, hey, Tennessee deserves to be number four in the rankings. They're going to be fifth. And it kind of turned out that way, and I forgot who said it earlier this week, and I know I've said it too because it makes so much sense, but I mean, you know, you got to tune in every week, right? ESPN's got to pull those ratings. Game day's in Austin. You got to make it compelling. And so it just kind of felt like it was easy for Tennessee to slot all the way back, give TCU its due. Again, TCU's undefeated. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad football team. I don't hate the fact that TCU is the number four. I disagree with it, but I get it. where did you think Tennessee should be ranked? Where did you think they were going to be ranked? Are you all upset about Tennessee being fifth? Kind of what's your stance on that?
I thought it was comical, too, because I was right where you're at. I'm like, Tennessee's going to be fifth. My conversation going into it was, if Tennessee loses to Georgia, and of course I wasn't expecting an Alabama loss, I was 100% expecting Alabama to be ranked in the college football playoff ahead of Tennessee, even though they both had one loss, and Alabama's one loss would have been head-to-head with Tennessee. Now, I fully expected Alabama to be ranked ahead. Of course, they lost, so that's irrelevant. I'm not surprised at all, but I really don't care. Fifth is fine. Like you said earlier, what was it you said? The perfect storm. And that was the title of my video leading up to the college football playoff rankings, because Tennessee, it is the perfect storm. Sitting at fifth, motivation for Josh Heupel to get this football team full of piss and vinegar to go play Missouri on Saturday. And you're in the perfect situation because Ohio State's got to play Michigan, so one of those is going to drop. And people are going to come in and argue and try to validate a one-loss Michigan or Ohio State team being ahead of Tennessee. Not going to happen. Don't even count on it. They don't have the resume. They don't have the track record. It's just not going to happen. TCU, good luck beating Texas. And if they do beat Texas, then leave them in the conversation. I think Tennessee, the way I see it playing out, they fight their way up to third before it's all said and done. Georgia's number one. We'll see you in the national championship.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to have Tennessee and Georgia playing in the semifinal, because, again, we've already seen that once this year. You know, Georgia and Alabama never played in the semifinal, always played in the national championship. So it'll be interesting, man. I mean, yeah, I think Tennessee's in such a great spot. And again, everybody's like, well, it kind of hurts for Tennessee because they don't play anybody the last 3 weeks of the season. Hell, look at the resume. Look at the schedule.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It ain't about the last 3 weeks. It's about the whole season. Yeah. Let me throw another question at you, because we're talking about college football playoff, and I didn't get. It's always fun to throw questions at you instead of having to answer them. So we can kind of change. Man. We can flip the script. What about LSU? What about LSU if they go win?
You've been seeing the flack I've got this week.
That's a long. That's a long shot. But what happens if LSU goes and beats Georgia in the SEC championship? Do you have a two? You have to take them. You have to take the SEC champ.
Yeah.
Then do you have a one-loss Georgia? Where in the world does the college football playoff go if LSU shocks the world and beats Georgia?
Dude, it is so funny because we had Matt Zenix on the Rocky Top Rewind on Sunday, right? Me and Brent Hubbs. And he said it. And Brent and I both agreed with him, because immediately that situation is like 2017 Auburn, 2017 Auburn. Auburn went into the SEC championship game knowing if you beat Georgia – you're in. And so, like, that's immediately where my mind went. I know that this season's not the same as that season, yada, yada, yada. But, yeah, I mean, that's how I view it. And so, I mean, depending on when someone watched that video, there was a new thread or a tweet. Or, I mean, I had, like, 17, like, explain yourself. You know, it's like, okay, here's my explanation. Just that as well. Like, you're not going to – Greg Sankey will not allow the SEC champion to not get in the college football playoff. You run the table. You have two losses. I understand one was to Florida State, which was not great, but the other one was to Tennessee, who's going to finish in this scenario fifth. And you lose, and you knock off an undefeated Georgia team that is ranked number one. You can't not take LSU if that's the situation. So you LSU and Georgia would both go, and unfortunately, that'd be awful for Tennessee. But here's the thing, and I said this every time. That's not going to happen.
It's like, not. But what if? Not. What if? And you have to take them. If you didn't take them, what would be the point of an SEC championship game? Just get rid of it. It's pointless.
Exactly. And here's the thing: like the committee for the dance in March, they don't value tournament championships, and so that's frustrating, because football you do, basketball you don't. Because remember, Tennessee should have been a 2 seed last year. Doesn't matter. They lost in the second round because just can't play in March. But you won the conference championship and it meant nothing. So, that's how I view that. I don't think LSU is going to beat Georgia. Don't get me wrong. LSU, what a story, though. They're improving every single week. But I don't see that happening. But if it did, they're in for sure, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think you have to take them. It's just an interesting conversation. Where should the college football playoff go? Should they expand? I'm at 6. Some people want 12. Some people want it to be March Madness. Don't take away, like, how much fun is the regular season? Don't take that away from us. But I don't think you'd be hurt by expanding it to 6. Give your 1 and 2 a bye. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I go the fewer the better. So if you're going to expand it, I like 6 as well. 12 is where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Anything more than that, golly, no, you're just
ruining it.
The season, essentially. All right, man. Appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being flexible this week. And we'll see Tennessee and Missouri this week. Hey, score prediction, Tennessee-Missouri.
I can't even remember what I said last night because I was rambling and screaming on the live stream. I threw something stupid out. I'm going to play that 60 number just because of last year and Josh Heupel and all the things we laid out. I think they're going to come out with something to prove. So I'll say 62-20 Tennessee.
I like it. All right. He's Boogie Bentley. He does a post-game immediate live show right after the whistle blows, right? You guys are on. Like, what, you get a drink of water, then you go live?
If you want to call it water, you can call it whatever you want. We'll be live within a matter of minutes after the game over on the Talkin' Vols Network on YouTube. Always a blast. Interactive live show. Hey, Tennessee wins. We celebrate. That Alabama game was the worst, best live stream we've ever done. We didn't even talk football. We yelled and screamed and celebrated with our buddies for about an hour and a half. If they lose, we drown our sorrows together. So come check it out within a matter of minutes after the game on Saturday.
Boogie Bentley, Talkin' Vols. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, man.
All right, that's going to do it here for a Friday show. Always appreciative of my guy Boogie for stopping by today, giving some extended time as Tennessee's going to take on Missouri tomorrow. Tennessee, 20.5-point favorite, that over-under sitting, that total at 57. Tennessee's going to go back. Tennessee needs to win this football game, and I think Tennessee's going to come out early in that first quarter and just put this game away, much like last football season. So we went over that in segment number one. Caught up with Boogie here in the segments two and three. And I appreciate you guys for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Hey, check out Locked On Sports Today. Takes of the day, biggest storylines, all that good stuff. Locked On Sports Today on this app, wherever you find your podcast, on YouTube as well. Make that your second listen here today. Guys, appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe. Please hit that like button. And as always, thank you guys for being here. Enjoy your college football weekend. And we'll recap it all coming up on a Monday, Locked On Vols.